Welcome to the NOLA Drink Show. Join us as we explore the world of drink, food, and culture in New Orleans and beyond. Here's your host, Brian Diaz.
All right, everybody. Hey, thanks for listening to the show, friends. Appreciate it. This week, as always, hope everyone out there is doing as well as they can be, given our current situation. And again, please pay heed to the competent, once again, the competent officials out there. Do what you're supposed to do. Practice social distancing. Please be responsible. Be a good neighbor. Be a good friend, a good family member, colleague, good citizen. It's important. I live over on the North Shore across the lake from New Orleans, and I've seen people taking it at least a little bit more seriously over here. Going out to get some exercise, I was still seeing packs of young people at the lakefront. If you are a young person, you are very likely to get it if you're hanging out in groups of people, or it's quite possible, I should say. I'm no epidemiologist, but the scary part is that you can give it to somebody else. And I think that we all know that you don't want to give it to your grandparents or somebody that's ill or something along those lines. So if you are a young person, you need to also practice social distancing as well. I've seen a lot of people do a lot of creative things, use Zoom, all kinds of online chat stuff, things like that. Take advantage of the technology that we have at our fingertips these days to get your social fix. Again, please be safe out there, everyone. We do have a really good show here for you today. We did a serious show last week, as you know, talking about the hospitality industry and some of the effects and issues connected to the coronavirus. We decided to do something a little bit more positive. Not that that wasn't positive, I guess, in a way, but a little more lighthearted. We have two fantastic guests. Our first guest is Jackie Summers. Jackie's a great guy. Jack from Brooklyn, up there in Brooklyn, New York, operates a distillery that makes Sorrel liqueur, does all kinds of other interesting things. And one of the things that he's done with a colleague of his is started a virtual happy hour that you can check out. The idea is they bring in a guest bartender. You can actually tip the bartender through Venmo, show you how to make some drinks. They usually bring in another guest speaker who's an expert on another topic, personal wellness, these sorts of things, financial advisor, so on and so forth. And it allows you, they use Zoom, and it allows you to learn about drinks, have some drinks online, virtual drinks, or make yourself one, have one there in front of your computer, in front of your phone. Really neat concept. And we talk about that, and we talk about several other things with Jackie. Always a pleasure to have him on. Then after Jackie's on, I'm joined by another friend of mine, good friend Donnie Ronan. Donnie is a spirits expert, educator, and consultant, lives out in Oakland, California, right there near my hometown. And we do some really fun stuff here. We wanted to, since everybody's, you know, staying at home, or at least you should be, people are, right? You're going to be drinking more at home. At least I know I am. And we're going to talk to you a little bit about some things, easy cocktail programs and things to think about for your home bar. The first thing that we do is we talk about the Negroni, the classic drink, what it is. And then we talk about how you can just change the base spirit of the Negroni and you've got yourself a whole new drink. Then we kind of flip the script a little bit in the next segment. And what we do is we talk about having a small number of ingredients in one base spirit, in this case, rum. And we talk about just, again, a small number of things in addition to rum that you can then make a whole slew of terrific drinks. If you are listening on the radio, I encourage you to go to our website, noladrinks.com, and get the podcast, because Donnie sticks around. We talk a little bit more about making a game out of creating cocktails. A lot of fun stuff there. And Jackie also comes back, and we talk a little bit more about thoughts on the service industry and just some other interesting things. So do go get the podcast. You can get it on your favorite podcast platform. Just look for NOLA Drinks on any of those podcast networks, or the easiest way, just go to noladrinks.com, and you can find it there as well. Friends, we're going to take a little break here on the NOLA Drink Show, and then we are going to be back with our first guest, Jackie Summers, Jack from Brooklyn, and then Donnie Ronan after that. Come on back.
Well, after I'm through.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. Brian Diaz here with you. Thanks for listening into the NOLA Drink Show, friends, this week. I do appreciate it as always. Strange times, strange circumstances, important times in important circumstances. And I am pleased to be joined by my next guest and friend, Jackie Summers, a.k.a. Jack from Brooklyn, a.k.a. the Liquortarian. I have a hard time saying that. But Jackie, thanks for making some time up there from Brooklyn, buddy. I appreciate it.
Always a pleasure. How are you and yours? Is everybody okay?
We're hanging in there, man. We're hanging in there. And you and I were talking about some of this stuff offline before we went on the air. And you're up there in New York, and you guys are going through, as is everybody, but a similar set of circumstances that we are here in New Orleans. And as you said, this is all, I won't get too much into too much detail, which you and I were talking about personally, but this is going to touch everybody, and it's going to touch everybody in severe ways that I think we probably haven't even come to terms with yet.
I don't think that there's a way to prepare for what we're going through. I mean, the last time there was a global pandemic, the fastest way to cross the ocean was by blimp.
Right. Yes.
So we have made some progress, but we sort of forgot that we live on a planet that's a living, breathing thing and doesn't really care that much about us.
You know, it's a conversation. You and I did not talk about this before we went on the air, but, you know, I was talking about this with my wife the other night. It's like, you know, maybe people will learn that we're actually merely another living organism on the planet and, you know, no more and no less. Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah, it would be. I don't hold out hope for that because I don't believe it in giving people false hope, but it would be nice if people learned to coexist with the world instead of acting like they own it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that is an important conversation and probably a conversation for another time. You and I, the next time we get together in person, we'll have that conversation over a bourbon or something, man. That would be, I'd look forward to that.
Over many, many, many bourbons.
Many, many, many bourbons, indeed. I like your thinking. Well, Jackie, one of the things that you're up to, which I think is really cool, as we move through this situation and we're all looking for ways to, you know, I think be creative, I think be positive, but also probably most importantly, looking to connect with people as we, you know, in ways that we, you know, replace ways that we can't interact now. And you've come up with a virtual happy hour with a colleague of yours, a friend of yours. And I think it's a really creative thing. Will you tell people about it?
So do you remember my friend Yannick Benjamin?
I do. Yes.
Yannick is an incredibly talented sommelier, but he always says to me, and this stays with me, start where you are, do what you can with what you have. Last Monday, when the word came down from California that they were shutting down all of the bars and restaurants, suddenly hundreds of people I knew were unemployed. And what happens in Chicago will follow, what happens in California will follow in Chicago and New York. We all knew exactly what was happening. Mm-hmm. And I thought to myself, where am I? What can I do with what I have? I'm home. And I'm fortunate that I get to be safe at home. But I have a huge network of bartenders who are now looking for work. And I've got high-speed internet. Those are my actual tools. And this thing is, what's the need? The need is people still need to socialize, mm-hmm. and people need to make money. And my feeling was we can combine those two things and hopefully serve two purposes at the same time. Nobody goes to a bar. Well, some people might, but most people don't go to a bar for the alcohol. Mm-hmm. You have alcohol at home. Anyone can drink at home. People go out to the bar to socialize. You meet up with friends. You meet new people. You get to talk about some of the stuff that's on your mind. Well, yep. Now everybody's home, but they still need to socialize. So what we thought we would do is we would create a space, a virtual space, where people could come and gather every single day. Just like a real bar. We'd have real bartenders showing you how to make real drinks. Because just because you have alcohol at home does not mean you know how to make a cocktail.
Right.
And real tips. So the idea is we've got a virtual space, but real tips for bartenders, and we've got 400 bartenders lined up, but we're averaging just under $3 per shift for bartenders.
Wow.
And if that means that they can feed themselves for the month, then we did a little good and provided people a small outlet.
That's really cool. So you have like a bartender will be, so you're using Zoom, right? Which is a video social integration kind of app where everybody can sort of like Skype in a way. So you're doing that. And so you're asking people to actually give real tips like through Venmo or something. How is that working for the bartender?
So the first thing is, I'll admit, is I had no idea what Zoom was before 2 weeks ago.
Okay. Right on.
My first Zoom meeting was the first virtual cocktail hour that we had. But what we're doing is we're having the bartenders post their Venmo. So the room, the virtual space, is always free. And we've had people log in from Belize to Bangkok, literally. We're having people log in from all over the world. Tipping isn't mandatory, but it's encouraged. You're hanging out at the bar, tip your bartender.
Absolutely. So the bartender, Jackie, the bartender's slinging drinks and kind of showing you how to make them, and is that kind of the idea?
The idea is we want for people to be able to feel like they got all of the good things about having a bartender around.
Mm-hmm.
So you get someone to show you how to make a cocktail, and then you get to ask the bartender questions. Why did you pick that whiskey? How are you aerating your ice on your shake? What about those bitters made you decide to use them in your drink? Folks get to actually really find out how to make better drinks at home, and hopefully they feel like they get to be included in something that's not isolating. We have to isolate people. We don't have to be antisocial.
Right. I think that's really, really cool. So, and are these, and we've been doing some stuff and starting to do some more stuff like that on the show to a degree, you know, about, we're going to be getting into some stuff about people being able to make drinks. As a matter of fact, Donnie Ronan's going to be on right after you. And we're going to talk about some simple ways to take a classic cocktail and maybe swap a base spirit out to manipulate it, or take a base spirit and with a limited number of modifiers and other things, make a whole host of cocktails. Are you guys kind of looking to do stuff, demonstrate stuff that people can easily execute at home, meaning ingredients you can find and you don't have to be a world-class bartender and knows how to make some random syrup or something like that to do it?
Ideally, yes. We prefer bartenders to use ingredients that are either common or ingredients that can be made with what people have in their houses. If you've got some sort of fancy shrub that you did, tell people how you did it.
Yeah.
So we can have a little bit of the fun. We want people to have the tools and the ingredients that they need to make the cocktails that we're showing them, and we're posting all of the recipes in the Facebook group.
Now that's great. So you're giving some practical education, news you can use kind of stuff, and that's a critical part of this, I think. That's a great idea.
I got to say, the other part that I'm really proud of, though, in addition to having bartenders, we have a special guest come on every night that's a lifestyle expert.
Ah.
Okay. So last night, for example, we had someone talk about the health insurance industry for 45 minutes. We've had a doctor who's on the front lines of this talk for 45 minutes and take questions. We've had a psychotherapist talk about how to manage your feelings with this. We had a relationship expert talk about sex during the time of COVID. Hmm. We had someone come and talk about how to manage your mortgage during a kind of economic crisis. We are trying to get real people to give real life advice to not just, you know, have a drink, but to figure out the realities of how we're going to manage a difficult time that none of us has ever dealt with.
I love that, Jackie, because it reminds me of what you were saying a few minutes ago about, you know, not going to the bars for alcohol. You're going to the bars largely for social interaction. And one of the things that, you know this in New Orleans as well as I do, I know it's the case in New York, information is transmitted shoulder to shoulder at the bar, right? Maybe not at that level, but this is important. We learn things, we meet people, we broaden our horizons by going to places like this through our interaction. So I think that's really representative of that. And I think it's a great component of what you're doing.
We are trying to be practical and at the same time give a space where people can feel like they're at home. Because they're at home.
Yeah, they are, right. At least they're supposed to be, right? We were talking about that before, too, but another story. But so, Jackie, let me ask you this question, man. Are you finding a very broad spectrum of people are participating? I'm sure it's a lot of industry people, because I know that's a lot of your network and things, and we were talking about bartenders and stuff that you know. Are you getting just sort of home enthusiast types, or just, you know, Joe Public, Joe Q Public joining in?
It's about 60-40. The first sessions, the first two or three sessions were almost all industry. And then the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal and the Guardian and all these other media outlets said, hey, if you're stuck at home, maybe you should join a cocktail hour. So now we've got people that just feel the need to connect with other people coming to the cocktail hour. And as far as I'm concerned, as much as I want to help my industry, connecting with other human beings is what this has got to be about. This has got to be the compassion project of our lifetimes.
Mm-hmm.
We have to figure out that it is not any of us, it is all of us. This idea that we are somehow separated from each other has got to go. We're all in this together.
Absolutely. That's a great point, man. You know, I have to tell you something really funny, Jackie, and we got about 3 minutes left before we got a break for a commercial. You're going to stick around for another shot with Mola Drinks, our podcast only segment where we talk about a couple other things. Yeah, but I was watching the TV news. This was 3-4 nights ago, and, you know, I had seen what you were doing, and somebody it was a doctor who was on talking about, you know, the importance of finding social interaction during these times of self-isolation and so on and so forth. And the person mentioned the, you know, bars and restaurants and really referencing the, you know, how they've closed and things like that, and the social import of what those represent for our healthiness and our psychological well-being. And the person said, you know, I think, you know, maybe, you know, people really need to start thinking about starting virtual happy hours. And I thought to myself, I've got a friend who's already doing that, one step ahead of you. If there was a call-in number, I would have called in, man, but I'm too small potatoes to get a direct line to whatever the hell channel I was watching. Well, how do people... Yeah. Go ahead, man. What were you going to say?
No, please go ahead.
I was just going to ask you, how do people find Danny and Jackie's virtual happy hour? We got to give a shout out to Danny too. How do we find that? How do people get involved and participate?
If you just Google Danny and Jackie's virtual cocktail hour, you'll find us.
Okay.
We got an inordinate amount of press out of literally nowhere. It seems to be hit a zeitgeist. People want to do this, and the other thing I want to say is we're in this for the long haul. We don't know how long this is going to be. The idea of just doing something and starting it off for the first 2 days is nice, but we might be here for a while. So we've got to think about how we're going to look, you know, moving forward and hopefully coming out of this.
Yeah. Great words, Jackie. I do appreciate that. We, of course, will share. I think I've actually already done it once on our Facebook page for the show. Just go to Facebook at Nola Drinks, and on Twitter we're at Nola Drinks One, the number one. And we'll keep sharing that information out there about the virtual happy hour and let people know how they can connect with it, man. And is this something you think you guys might keep kind of going? Maybe not at the same frequency, but are you considering doing this after all this is over? Or is that putting the cart before the horse at this point?
We don't know how long this is going to go for. We will support community as long as community requires support.
Beautiful. Awesome. Well, Jackie, let's do this. I'm going to take a little break here, a commercial break here for the radio portion of the show. When we come back from that, we're going to be chatting with another mutual friend of ours here, Donnie Ronan. Going to let you know a little bit about making some cocktails at home and some easy ways to think about doing that with not too many ingredients needed on hand. And then we're going to, if you're listening on the radio, go to noladrinks.com, get the podcast, because we're going to continue this conversation with Jackie on another shot with Nola Drinks on the other side of the interview with Donnie Ronan. Jackie, can you stick around for a few minutes, man?
Yes, I can, sir.
Beautiful. Thank you so much. Friends, we're going to take a little break here on the Nola Drink Show. We're going to be right back with Donnie Ronan and then back with Jackie and then maybe with Donnie again, too. We'll see how all this pans out. Come on back. Here with the WGSO 990 AM in New Orleans and in podcast land, wherever you may be. Yep. As promised at the top of the show, we are joined by my good friend Donnie Ronan, spirits consultant, educator, expert out there. And I mentioned what we were going to talk about, so we'll jump into it in just a second. But Donnie, how are you, buddy? Thanks for joining us.
I'm doing very well. How about yourself?
Hanging in there, man. Hanging in there. You're out there in Oakland. How are things going?
I mean, I see out the window that everything looks, you know, sunny and lovely, but God knows. We have no idea. We're just trying to take care of the people that need the most help, the people who are most vulnerable, our friends and colleagues in the industry who are struggling right now.
Absolutely. And we talked a little bit about that. People heard us just talk about that with Jackie last week's show. We talked a lot about that, and we're going to keep sharing that stuff with people. But what you and I decided to do is actually kind of make lemonade out of lemons here and give people a little bit of fun stuff to think about and some stuff that you can do while you're at home. So as I mentioned, we're going to talk about the Negroni first, which is a classic cocktail. And Donnie, let's talk about tell people what the Negroni traditionally is. And then we're going to get into some variations where all you got to do is swap the base spirit out and you got yourself something entirely different.
Absolutely. So the Negroni is classically gin, Campari, sweet vermouth, equal parts. And like a lot of not just classic cocktails, but drinks that stand the test of time, even sort of modern, what we call modern classics, a lot of them are very easy construction. So equal parts cocktails, that happens quite a bit. And the Negroni is one that people know, I would say has become exceedingly popular in the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, these things last a long time for a reason. And that's because they're bulletproof and they're pretty tasty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think, and you and I were talking about this the other day, like a lot of those classic cocktails that stand the test of times, different, very simple variations on a theme is a different cocktail. And because that basic formula, as you said, the equal parts, I think typically people do like 3/4 ounce, 3/4 ounce, 3/4 ounce. Is that right? Or you can up it to an ounce. Doesn't really matter.
If you're thirsty, an ounce.
Right. Right. Exactly.
I mean, if you go to the most like bar programs will do, you know, between 3/4 and an ounce. There's not a lot of variation there. You'll find at sort of, because of the fact that the Negroni has become fairly prolific and out there into the world beyond just our friends and cocktail nerds, you'll find that a lot of the sort of casual dining restaurants that have bars who feel bold enough to put a Negroni in front of their audience will do 3/4 because 3/4 pours, because for them, it's all down to the scent. Mm-hmm. But if you go into a cocktail bar, almost everybody's going to be doing 1-1-1.
1-1-1.
It's going to be basically like a big, a bulk drink on a solid piece of block ice. And it's a big full glass with only a little bit of stirring dilution.
Right. Okay. And we're going to, when you're going to stick around for the podcast only segment, we're going to get into some other fun variations where we swap out the other two ingredients, not the base spirits, where we swap out the Campari and we swap out the vermouth with some different ideas. But here we're going to talk about the base spirit. So it's really easy to make a new drink, right? We take our Campari and we take our sweet vermouth, and then we have a choice of all kinds of different base spirits. Some of those have actually kind of become sort of modern classics, haven't they? These different ones.
100%. I mean, the Boulevardier is one that people know. That's where you you swap out for bourbon. And what's so interesting about that is honestly just gin alone. Let's say you're using like a modern Mediterranean gin that has a lot of citrus in it. That's going to be very different from a London Dry. And
right.
Various London Dries, let's say you move between like Beefeater and Tanqueray 10, all of a sudden, same thing, citrus pop.
Yep.
And fewer botanicals. Like it's just the gin alone, you can have an extremely different cocktail side by side when all you're doing is swapping those components out. And then all of a sudden you throw in a completely different spirit and it's a whole new ball game.
Yeah, that's a great point. We're going to talk about this in the podcast thing because I'm also a firm proponent of the idea that so many of these drinks and the Negroni being no exception, the Campari, your vermouth choice is absolutely critical in all of this, I think. So let's talk about a couple other variations, just sticking it to or keeping with the base spirit. So we mentioned the bourbon variation. One of my personal favorites is the mezcal. Swapping in mezcal, I think, is a great choice. Rum, right? What are some of your favorites, and what would you recommend?
My personal favorite, like everybody has a very simple drink that you would ask for that you don't have to explain. You walk into a bar, you're like, I'm in the mood for this thing. I don't want to have to give specs to the bartender. A, I really don't want to get smacked in the head with something, especially if it's like a busy night. I'm not going in and making special requests. But also just, you know, for ease of ordering, I'm in having a great conversation with somebody. I don't want to, you know, zip over to the bartender and start prattling out some recipe. So there's like the simple one, but one of my personal favorites, is actually a Reposado Negroni where I put Chinar instead of Campari and then do a bar spoon of Mezcal.
It gives you
you know, some of the smokiness and the richness that you would get from Mezcal, but I don't want it to overpower if I'm going to do that full ounce. So, you know, Reposado tequila to give it a little bit more body from, you know, the aging of that spirit, and then a little splash of Mezcal. That is, I love it so much, and I would order it so often when I was traveling for work that my friend and colleague Keith actually named it the Negronin. Because he's like this is stupid. I'm just going to put your name in it and call it a day, which I was very honored by. And then just after that, was kind of annoyed that I had not come up with it first.
It's actually better that you didn't come up with it first, because there's that ego thing. It's better when somebody gives you the nickname it's like whenever you try and invent your own nickname, it never sticks. Somebody's got to give you your own nickname. So. Yeah, I think so. So, and Chinar, that's an interesting choice too. Nice, I can see how that would complement the Reposado and actually also play nicely with the bar spoon, the smokiness that the Mezcal is going to bring to the drink.
Yeah, and a little lower ABV as well. You know, it's a little more than half of Campari, so it's kind of a fun thing. But even if you were to completely stick with the same sweet vermouth and Campari and just change out the base spirit, it's going to take you in very different directions. Honestly, aged rum is a terrific way to go. Jamaican aged rum is an insanely delicious way to enjoy that combination. Like as a Jamaican rum Negroni is outstanding.
So and maybe like a pot still or something that brings that kind of Jamaican funkiness to it. The funkiness is going to pop in the drink. Is that what we're getting?
Yeah, I mean, for the most part, you go with Jamaican rum and you're going to get. You're going to get all those things that you're looking for, like that. What I used to tell when we were doing trainings that I would say, like, imagine taking an old tire, stuffing it with weed, and setting it on fire. That's Jamaican rum.
Right, but I like that. That's good. I'm gonna use it. And I will give you. Yeah. I'll give you full credit, of course, with a nickname.
Thank you.
Well, hey, Donnie, we got about a minute and a half before we're going to take our first break, and you're going to stick around for more, okay. Of course. But you mentioned something about low ABV. Another great way to go is we can swap in some bubbles, right, for the gin.
100%. You can always go that route, and that's you're making. Sort of like an aperitivo spritz, so to speak. You know, for the most part, you know, the Aperol spritz, which same thing has totally exploded in recent years. That is a great way for people to just enjoy something light. I mean, at this point, in a couple months from now, people are going to be so excited to just be outside and in large groups of people that they'll drink anything. But imagine how great it'll be to have something that's like that fun and light and refreshing in a big wine glass, or, you know, with some ice in it. People are just going to lose their minds. And doing what essentially is an Americano,
right,
which is the Campari sweet vermouth. And that's before, you know, Count Negroni decided, hey, I'm going to hit this with a higher ABV and throw some gin in there and turn it into a Negroni, which he totally named after himself. you can, instead of soda water, you absolutely can do, you know, a sparkling wine. And I would recommend sticking with something dry. Otherwise it will take the drink in a very different direction,
right?
But a really nice dry brut with, you know, in that 3-2-1 ratio with, Campari sweet vermouth is outstanding. I prefer it on ice as well, but wow, what a great way to enjoy those three things together.
There's a front porch quarantine drink for you as we come into the warmer months. Donnie, we're going to take a little break here. Stick around for a second, friends, and we're going to talk about a different way to look at keeping some drinks simple that are easy to make at home. Friends,
down
come on.
Yonder, down on the phone. Down yonder, where I was born.
Well, going down to the
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. Brian Diaz here with you. Yep, we are chatting with spirits expert Donnie Ronan out there in Oakland, California, right near my hometown. But now we're going to shift gears, and we talked about the Negroni and making variations thereof. Now what we're going to talk about is taking a base spirit, in this case rum, and how a few more additional ingredients on hand, you got all kinds of options out there, Donnie.
You can make, I mean, this goes for pretty much any base spirit, but rum is one of those extremely versatile base spirits that people, I think, sort of poo-poo. Either they've had some very weird experiences with like a spiced rum or something.
Or we're talking about real rum here. Yeah, go on, sorry.
Oh, by the way, I don't think the people out there that make really great spiced rum would appreciate that, but either way, if you have white rum and a very small handful of other ingredients, you can make a ton of stuff at home without, you know, needing to run around.
If you're going to pick one, pick a good solid white rum is the way to go to keep versatility open.
I would say so. Yes. Okay. Easy to get your hands on. And like, there's a lot of different ways to look at it. So, I mean, most people can walk into any store and get Bacardi Superior, right? Bacardi White, Bacardi Blanco, Bacardi, you know, Silver, whatever that particular person calls it. Very easy to get your hands on. There's also like, you know, El Dorado 3 and other white rums that do have a little bit more age on them, but still charcoal filtered out so that it's a white rum and you get that base. It's very difficult to go wrong, especially with the two drinks that we're going to talk about here, to not have a good time.
Okay.
So people shouldn't fret about which white rum they're going to get in order to make these drinks. They'll be fine.
Cool. So what are these two drinks?
So I'm going to do a one shaken and one stirred. The shaken is a classic daiquiri. I'm sure that most of your listeners have already had really incredible daiquiris before and don't sort of immediately think back on like weird resort blender. Nothing wrong with blender. I'm just saying that for the most part, there's a lot of mixes and flavorings being used, and not a lot of people had experience with a classic shaken daiquiri. My recommendation to your listeners would be 2 1/3-quarter, meaning 2 white rum, 1 ounce fresh lime juice, and 3/4 of a 1-to-1 simple syrup.
That's where you take the same proportion, a cup of sugar and a cup of water, to make your simple syrup, right?
Right. Okay. And you don't, same thing, if you're at home and you're like, oh, I don't know where my measuring cup is, honestly, take two vessels, a small vessel and a large vessel. The small vessel, let's say, you know, the bottom tin of your shaker tin, and fill that up to the top with sugar. Dump that into a larger container, and then take that same smaller container, fill it up with hot water, and dump it back into the larger container. That is the easiest without weighing it. That's going to be your most accurate 1-to-1 without measuring. Like, you've taken the same vessel and filled it up with the same amount of water as you have with sugar. It's not going to be perfect because obviously there's tiny little, you know, bits of air and space between those grains of sugar, but for the most part, you'll be okay for a 1-to-1 simple syrup. Right. And that will, honestly, you can work with, you know, any drink that requires 1-to-1 simple, you've got it ready to go.
Cool. So daiquiri and classic daiquiri.
Yeah, classic daiquiri. And then you have variations on that as well. Let's say you have mint or basil either in your kitchen or in your garden. You still have access to that now. And you can easily make yourself a mojito. You take some mint, of course, clean it off, because if you're getting it from outside, it may have some bugs on it. So make sure you do a little quick wash with that, a little rinse on that. And then don't do that muddling, crushing thing. Like, when people chew on mint leaves, they're reminded that you're just going to end up tasting chlorophyll and it's going to be bitter. Mm. As opposed to just, you know, ripping them and tossing them very gently into your tin and shaking it up and letting that friction do the job, or putting them on the bottom of the glass and doing a very slight press. You really want the oils off of it. You don't want what's bitter inside.
Right.
So, and then you add soda to that. You basically daiquiri plus mint plus soda, and you're going to be have a pretty well balanced mojito. A lot of people will switch it around, so they'll do 1 ounce of the sugar and 3/4 of the lime, because the soda will lengthen that drink out and it'll water down a little more quickly. But honestly, it fully depends on your, you know, on what you like. If you like something that's a little bit sweeter, then turn, you know, flip that upside down. If you like stuff that's less sweet, you could go the two half version of the daiquiri and still love it.
Yeah. Okay, cool. And what, you know, two quick things that I like on a very or changes to a mojito, Donnie. I like mine with still water, actually, because it's just kind of more my preference. Okay. So good clean water. So I was actually taught how to make it in Cuba about 20 years ago. And a float of Angostura bitters on the top, I think, is always a nice touch on that drink as well.
Personally, I really like the bitters in there. And if you have either access to like a Lewis bag and you can smash up, you know, crush some ice. It's a great thing. You make it, you top, you know, top this Collins glass with the crushed ice, hit the Angostura bitters with that. It looks beautiful. It smells great. And then you take, you know, your mint sprig and you stuff that into the mound of crushed ice.
Awesome. Well, cool, man. So let's,
yeah, you'll immediately, people will be like, wow, I've just made myself like a cocktail bar level cocktail, you know, at home.
Sweet. Okay, cool. Great tip there. We got about 3.5 minutes left, Donnie, before we got to close the radio portion of the show. So let's quickly, let's move through the stirred version of the drink or stirred drink here using rum.
One of my favorite drinks just in general is El Presidente. And it's a very, I don't know, it's a not as well-known classic to anywhere outside of like cocktail bars, but it's a very simple drink. And you're going to find a lot of people with different recipes. So you'll see 1.5 rum, 3/4 curacao, 3/4 dry vermouth, bar spoon of grenadine. I find that recipe to be a little bit too sweet. Mm-hmm. Way too sweet.
Way too sweet.
way too sweet. So let's say, for example, you don't have curacao, but you have some sort of orange liqueur, whether it's, you know, Combier or Cointreau, or, you know, some sort of other orange liqueur. You can always do that. But personally, I like the 2 ounces of white rum, 3/4 of dry vermouth, and then 1/2 of the curacao. And if you have something that's a little bit sweeter, so, I mean, granted, you know, Cointreau and Combier can be a little bit on the sweeter side, but they are still 40% ABV and have a really nice dry finish. But you cap that at the 1/2 ounce, and that's a terrific stirred rum cocktail. Now, for those of you who don't have grenadine, or you're like, oh, I have some like old bottle that's been sitting around, the purpose of the grenadine in that drink is supposed to be for color. So don't fret about not having the perfect thing. If you have, you know, cherries, you can use a little bit of that cherry juice, but really no more than like, you know, 3/4 of a bar spoon. You really don't want that much in there. Just to give it a little bit of color and a little bit of depth. But if you do have like a small hand foods or some like really brilliantly made grenadine, absolutely go to town, because those are pomegranate. They're actually nice and tart, along with the sweetness, and you'll find that it's a pretty outstanding drink.
Beautiful, beautiful tips there. Don't overdo the curacao, right? I think that's an important thing in that drink too.
No, don't ever. I'd be really like the two ounce rum, 3/4 dry vermouth, 1/2 curacao is, and you know, not even a bar spoon of grenadine for me is the perfect combo. And then you know, with a swath of like orange oil or lemon oil is just amazing.
Awesome. Donnie, do me a favor. Tell people, got about 30 seconds here. Tell people where they can find you online, man.
Oh, not a big social person. I mean, if we're hanging out, I'm very social, but yes. Not social media person. You can always email me with any questions, imbibe@dcspirits.com. Put in the subject line, NOLA drinks, and happy to chat with you about that. And then my Insta is just DRONEN. That's an easy way to, you know, give me a hard time for stupid crap that I do actually post.
Awesome. Beautiful. Donnie, you're going to stick around for another shot with NOLA drinks, which is going to be right on the other side of this break and our closing music here. And we're going to talk a little bit more about making some games out of some of this stuff, some other variations on a theme with Negroni, manipulating things other than the base spirit, and some other fun things. So friends, if you are listening on the radio, be sure to go get the podcast. Go check out noladrinks.com. You'll find it there, because that's the only place that you're going to find our extended interviews. After we talk with Donnie, we're going to finish up our conversation with Jackie Summers too, from the top of the show. So again, friends, if you're listening on the radio, however, remember to be kind to one another, especially right now. Use your turn signal. And until next time, cheers, y'all. Yep, another shot with Noel Drinks, friends. Thanks for sticking around. I do appreciate it. As always, a very important show here that we are conducting with Robert LeBlanc of LeBlanc Smith Restaurant Group, and we're about to be joined by Allie Grebe, as you know, their director of development, who's going to give us some specifics on navigating the situation if you are someone in the hospitality industry affected by layoffs and other considerations. And Robert is also going to give us some information if you're a business owner about SBA stuff. Of course, this was taped the other day. We have been desperately trying to get caught up on some shows. Other things considered that I'm dealing with here that have kind of turned our schedule upside down a little bit. We got the podcast segment out with that you're about to hear several days ago because we wanted to get that to you, but you'll hear it here now. I just want you to know that this was a handful of days ago, and of course, as the news changes by the hour these days. But stay tuned for that, and well, I'll be back with more after we complete the interview with those guys. Here we go. Yep, another shot with Noel Drinks. Brian Diaz here with you. Thanks for sticking around, friends. And we're continuing our conversation here with spirits educator and expert Donnie Ronan. And we gave you some good ideas in the last two segments about how to, you know, keep some simple things around, basic ingredients, and how to make some different variations of great drinks. Doesn't have to be too hard. Don't have to have too many things. Don't have to be a cocktail hero, as I like to say, to have a whole lot of variation if you're trying to mix things up. And a lot of us probably are these days. But let's continue down that road a little bit, Donnie. One of the things that we were talking about before, so in the first segment we had you on, we were talking about the Negroni classic drink, and we focused primarily on swapping out the base spirit gin from the classic build of the drink and with different base spirits. But we can also play with some other things. You mentioned Chinar in one variation, but we can play with the vermouth, we can play with the Campari elements. And one of the things I said to you, and I think you agree with me, there's so many drinks out there, you know, we'll often sort of flippantly throw around sweet vermouth. There's a huge variation out there just in what that means. And there's all kinds of drinks like the Vucaré, one of my favorites here, a New Orleans classic. If you choose the wrong vermouth, it's a really bad drink.
100%. And there's so many great vermouths out there, but people treat them as hot swappable and they're not.
They're not. Yes.
Now, there was a time that you and I were talking about a little bit when Carpino Antica like really hit this market hard, the U.S. market, and they were pushing it really hard. And it's an unbelievable product. You literally can pour it on ice and just enjoy it, which is, you know, very Italian in the first place. Mm-hmm. But to take that, like, let's say you're making a Boulevardier and you take a particularly rich bourbon, like say, for example, Knob. Like Knob Creek is 50% ABV, so it's higher than a lot of the other standards, but it's also fairly rich. And you take that and Carpino, and it really is like not only makes the drink very sweet, but doesn't necessarily balance. Now, I'm saying this at the same time, knowing that plus like an aperitivo altogether is still going to be delicious, but not necessarily the drink you're looking for, as opposed to switching up to a more straightforward sweet vermouth, like a simple sweet vermouth, like a Dolan or a Cinzano or a Martini Rossi or a Neupratt, you know? Mm-hmm. So people don't take that into consideration. And it is one of those things that should not be ignored because it does make an enormous difference in that drink.
Yeah, I appreciate you saying that. I've been hot on that for a number of years now, that you can't, to use your term, hot swap them. I think, and I'm not trying to plug a particular product over others, because I think we're trying to teach people also how to, you know, not have to buy four different vermouths to sort of, you know, how shall I say, you know, fix or deal with what we're talking about here. I think the Dolan Rouge is a pretty solid choice you can make, right? Fairly versatile. Do you agree with that one?
Absolutely. And totally agreed. It has nothing to do with pro or con. I am pro all of those products sure. because they're delicious. The one, I guess, tip that I could recommend to your listeners is that, guys, don't buy more than a 375 of vermouth. Mm-hmm. Like, unless you are at home churning through martinis and Manhattans, there is no reason for you to ever get more than a small bottle, because you want to keep it in your fridge. It is, you know, it's an aromatized wine, so higher ABV and higher sugar, so it's going to stick around longer, but you keep it in the fridge and you will keep that product alive for much longer. But even then, a 375, unless you are, you know, have a lot of guests over or those are like your go-to drinks, it's so much easier to keep stuff tasting delicious and fresh when you get smaller bottles of it. It's more expensive per ounce, but again, you're not doing a high volume cocktail bar in your house. Really, honestly, just get the smaller bottle and have yourself potentially a little more variation. Get the smaller bottle of the Carpineau, get a small bottle of a Dolin Rouge, get a small bottle of Noe Prat, and you'll have three very different. You'll have, I would go actually Martini and Rossi. That way you have two different, straightforward sweet vermouths, mm-hmm. one Italian, one French, and then Carpineau, also Italian, but like much more rich and, you know, orange peel and chocolate kind of and all
herbal,
kinds of
and a little herbal. Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah. That's a great tip. And I think a lot of people don't know that, because we are talking about, even if you refrigerate them, I pump mine with a wine stop, which buys you a little more time, even more time than a regular wine, and then keep them. But we are talking about at best weeks here. We're not talking about months, correct?
Yeah, if you're keeping them refrigerated and you're doing the pump thing, you could hold on to them for a couple of months.
Okay.
But in general, people just don't think about it and they throw it into the cupboard anyway, and you're going to find them in there, you know, dusty and not being too terrific, which is one of the reasons why martinis got drier and drier and drier, because mm-hmm. people didn't think about how you had to care for an open bottle of vermouth, and they're like, oh, this drink sucks. And you're like, no, the drink doesn't suck. It's your dry vermouth that has gone bad 3 years ago. So, you know.
Right, exactly.
I like how you said that you're like, you know, we don't need to be cocktail heroes, but I totally pump air out of my bottles of vermouth before I put them in the fridge.
Yeah, I swear by it, because it does buy you quite a bit more time. And I do find it buys you more time than, you know, pumping on a bottle of wine, and it varies greatly by wine. But if you're putting it in your wine fridge or something, or in a fridge, it buys you 24, 48, maybe a little bit more than that. And then your wine is going to be turned most likely anyway. Vermouth, it will buy you a little more time than that. But it, I think it's an easy investment to go buy a set of pump stops and a pump. It'll only set you back, I think, what is it, maybe $10 for a pump, and they give you two or three stops, and you can buy additional stops for another $5-6. You're out $20 to be stopped up.
Way easier to get your hands on now. Like, they used to be really expensive, and now you can find like knockoffs everywhere. They're pretty great. As long as it seals in the bottle, you're good.
Yeah, right on. Well, how about this, Donnie? Like, yeah. keeping with the Negroni theme then. So we did talk about the importance of vermouth, and the same thing would go with the variations on a Negroni. But we also, Campari being sort of the classic ingredient there, and as we were talking about, they want you to think that. But we can swap in Chinar. What are some other things, some other different things that we can swap in for that component of a Negroni?
So if you have any aperitivi at home, they'll all sort of work. So, you know, and again, they're all different. So just the three alone that a lot of people know are going to be Campari, Chinar, and Aperol, mm-hmm. because all of them are terrific, but they're all very different. You know, one's 11%, one's 16.5%, and one's 25%. Mm. And different levels, various levels of sweetness. For a lot of people, you could actually take Chinar and swap that out for the sweet vermouth. Like a lot of people.
Yeah.
Right. So you could still have, you know, an Aperol or a Campari or some other aperitivo in that mix, and then use your Chinar as a replacement for your sweet vermouth. And it'll just add another level of like bitterness and weirdness and the kind of thing that people go for.
Yeah. That's actually pretty great. I've never done it or had that before. That's a great idea. Do me a favor. I think a lot of people out there listening probably know what Chinar is, because it definitely has become more commonplace and, you know, seen on back bars and seen in home bars more. But tell people what Chinar is if they don't know what it is.
Chinar is spelled C-Y-N-A-R. And it comes from the genus of the genus species of artichoke. So it is a, I mean, the best way to look at it is if you look at, you know, a sweet vermouth, or sorry, a vermouth or an aperitivo, they all have botanicals that are used for flavoring. Sometimes it's, you know, they're bittering agents, sometimes they're flavoring agents, but the one in Chenar, the predominant one, is artichoke. So some people think that's very strange, but mm-hmm. it is such an interesting and unique product. I personally love it, but
I do too.
You know, also,
yeah, sorry to interrupt. I mean, and I love it too. And it's actually kind of one of the ones we were talking about with other things. Simply over the rocks, Chenar is also very, very pleasant by itself.
100%. As are most of, if you think about aperitivi, you think like Dubonnet, Lillet, Aperol, Chenar. I mean, all of those can easily be just consumed over over the rocks. And they're terrific. You don't really need to do anything to them.
Soda water, this particular right? sense, you could add soda water to just about any of those lightly if you want to give it a little bubble.
Oh, yeah, that's a great way to enjoy. Mm-hmm. But and of course, like what we were talking about in the first segment is when you said, "What about sparkling wine?" I mean, you're taking an Americano, which is sweet vermouth, Campari, and soda, and just replacing the soda with, you know, with sparkling wine, which in a very specific recipe is an Aperol spritz.
Right.
You know, so you can, I mean, one of the things that you can do at home, let's say you have a board game at home and that board game has one die in it. You can take that die 1 through 6, or even if it's like something specific to that game, you take a piece of paper and you write down 1 through 6, or, you know, A, B, C, D, G, you know, like whatever is on that die. And then to each one of those things, you assign something. So let's say roll number one, you pick your base spirit. You can do rum, tequila, gin, vodka, whiskey, right? Mm-hmm. And then for your second roll, you can do all your different aperitivi. You can do your Chenar, your Lillet, your Aperol, your Campari, like throw those all out there. And then for your third roll, you do 1 through 6. You can either double up like dry vermouth, sweet vermouth, Bianco vermouth, or you can pick specific things that you have that you know are going to work. And you can also, there's a little bit of like a nebulous, cloudy region between roll number two and roll number three, where like some of your things that you have for vermouth could easily be things that you would have for an aperitivo. As well.
Okay. Yeah.
Like Chenard can definitely float back between those two. Lay can sometimes float back between those two. You could throw sherry into it if you wanted, like, Pedro Jimenez, but like an Oloroso or something. There's a lot of different options. And quite frankly, it's a really fun way to maybe come up with a thing that you discover as your new favorite.
I think that's a really, really fun idea. And I always want to encourage people to, Donnie, if people do stuff like that, there were two things actually that I wanted to touch on really quickly. If you do something like that and you come up with a great combination, write it down, right? I think sometimes people, it can be very ethereal if you don't write it down. Write it down so that you can go back and revisit it. I think that's a really important thing to do.
It's so important. Like, you know, there was a while, like a long time ago, when I was writing about wine, and I, you know, when you first start doing that, you're struggling for words and you want to connect a certain aroma or a certain flavor with something that somebody else could read and envision and also maybe even taste or smell based on the words that you use. And you find that your notes over over a 2-hour tasting get more and more brief. You know, it's like, I'm going right. to a little more quickly. And have I already used, you know, kitty litter? Yeah, I'm going to try and look for. So there's all kinds of ways that you can use this information to help you in the future. Taking those meticulous notes, like on my first, the paper and pen, I would always add them into something digital so I could easily look it up later. Once I got like a Palm Pilot, boom, everything was on the Palm Pilot. Totally dating myself right now.
That was solid.
But
yeah.
The beauty of it, I remembered a really specific, like there was one thing that had like the nose of like a hot cup of coffee. I could do a search for hot cup of coffee or even coffee, and maybe 10 things would come up, but better 10 than 1,000.
Right.
You know, so that's a good way for like just your own like note taking, but writing down things beforehand, like even if you do a tweak, write down, you know, 1 ounce, 1 ounce, 1 ounce. And then you're like, you know what? It needed a little more of this thing. So I added another quarter. That way you're just editing something you've already written down as opposed to trying to remember the three different, you know, updates that you did. And you'll be really glad that you did. I mean, Brian, that's an excellent point. Like people will like, oh, what was that thing I made? I can't remember. It was so great. And especially when you're at home right now, trying to be creative and do fun things. What an easy way to do that, to keep a little bit of, you know, keep track of it, share it with friends who might have some of those things at home and they don't know what to do with, et cetera.
Great, Donnie. Yeah, absolutely. I think those are all really good points there. I did want to touch on this too. And you kind of, you started to get in that direction as well when we were talking about wine and writing wine notes. One of the things, and I've said this on the show before, but it's probably been a while, so people haven't heard me say it recently or at all, is that we tend to taste monolithically is how, that's the phrase I used to use when I would teach wine classes more often. And doing comparative tasting is a really important way to understand how things vary and how they taste different, and then therefore how they may perform in this case in a cocktail. So like we were talking about taking three different vermouths or three different aperitivis, and I appreciate you using the plural there, by the way, as well. But that, you know, and pop those three vermouths, those 3, 3, 7, 5s that you buy, and have a little taste and do a side by side by side, as opposed to just tasting one at a time, and maybe make some notes on that too. I think when you taste comparatively, it helps you remember, and it actually, it sticks with you better, and it helps you articulate the differences and then what those three specific things will taste like better too. Do you agree with that?
Well, it's so much so. Like, for example, this is, you know, something that you and I did not touch upon last time. When you're, like, for example, with the Shaker and Spoon box, right? The subscription kit that, like, goes out to thousands of people every month,
yep.
And there's no booze in it. So each box, it has a base spirit. You know, there'll be one that's Reposado tequila and one that's, you know, New American whiskey and one that's gin. And sometimes it's regional, sometimes that is a theme, but either way, it's the same base spirit in every box. But because there's no booze in the box itself, the three bartenders who make the cocktails recommend, hey, like, for this particular American whiskey box, I'm doing Blackened. Oh, I'm doing, the Rieger whiskey. Oh, you know, I'm doing Balcones Baby Blue. Great. Mm-hmm. Perfect. If you have access to those, great. You can try the drink the way that bartender intended it to taste like. But what we're finding, and which is super cool, because people post a massive amount of photos and tag Shaker and Spoon in it, is we can see that people started just buying all three. They're like, well, if that person, like, listen, I have a Tennessee whiskey at home, so I'm going to use Tennessee whiskey. But I noticed that my store has Blackened. I've never had that. And that's a combination of American and Canadian, whiskeys, bourbons, ryes. Sure, let's go for it. So a lot of people are buying all three recommendations and maybe something they have at home so they can do all the different permutations of these cocktails. And it's really fun to watch because some people are like, you know what? I liked the whiskey that person recommended for their drink. I like it better than the other person's drink.
Right.
And the other person. And they're learning that like just swapping up a spirit completely changes that drink, even if it has something very, very specific in it, like a yuzu soda or, you know, a persimmon syrup that's made, you know, you never know. But sometimes there'll be one single, you know, flavor in a particular drink that matches well with another ingredient, whether that be the base spirit or whether that be like one of the syrups or the bitters in it or something. So, you know, those permutations are the things that really drive us to figuring out what we like. Taste is subjective. And so whenever someone's just like, oh, that wine's good, that wine's not good, that's totally not
that's
how
not
it works.
Cool. That's not how it works.
Whether you like it or whether you like it or you don't like it or you love it. And like, that's the kind of thing that we always try and do in trainings is don't ever poo-poo someone's choice. Help them make the choice based on what they liked before and maybe guide them in the direction of something new, but based on something you know that they already like. It's not cheating. It's like making their experience better.
I think that's a great way to put it. And this is something, Donnie, you and I are going to do this on a fairly regular basis here moving forward, and we can get into this more. But I like your point. One of the things that I will always tell people with wine, and it applies really anywhere, I call it my 1 degree of separation rule. You can get somebody to move 1 degree of separation away from their favorite flavor profile, and you might also be able to get them to move 1 degree of separation away from their price point. But asking people to go too far, too many degrees of separation away from their flavor profile or their price point, you're fighting a losing battle. So it's a guided experience, and people's palates change. And then sometimes they're just things that you just don't like you said. So I think those are all really, really good points. Do me a favor. Tell people, we'll talk about Shaker and Spoon more in the future, but tell people it's a really cool thing. Tell people about the website. Where do they find Shaker and Spoon?
It's shakerandspoon.com. Everything's on there. The vodka box is the one that comes out in April. So you'll see a lot of information on that one coming out. And then the website in April switches over to the May box, which is actually a big fundraiser for SpeedRack, for three of the beneficiaries, both to eradicate breast cancer as this just issue that will not seemingly go away and affect so many of us and our families. And then one of the beneficiaries is also the BEAP, the Bartender Emergency Assistance Program, which is always important, and particularly now, and there are, you know, so many of our friends and colleagues who are out of work. So it's not only going to be a delicious box that is a bourbon box that has three cocktails made by three SpeedRack champions, so three women who have actually won SpeedRack competitions, but it's also going to be this really fabulous fundraiser, and I'm just thrilled with the team that it was put together so well.
We'll do this again before the month of April is over, Donnie, and so we'll circle back on that and remind people of it. But thank you so much, man. It's always a pleasure to talk to you, and it's going to be a pleasure again to see you, hopefully much sooner than later.
Yes, hopefully in a crowded room. It'll be very exciting.
Indeed. And we'll have Donnie back on really soon. Friends, what we're going to do here, we're going to take a brief musical interlude, and then we're going to circle back with Jackie Summers and wrap up that conversation. All right, everybody, up another shot with Noel Drinks. Brian Diaz here with you, chatting with my friend Jackie Summers, also known as Jack from Brooklyn, up there in Brooklyn right now. And Jackie, thanks for sticking around for our podcast-only segment, man. And again, thank you for taking some time out of your day to chat with us by phone.
Absolutely.
Yeah, man. So, you know, you and I were talking, obviously we talked about the virtual happy hour stuff in the previous segment that you were on. We were talking about a lot of stuff before we went on the air, as we do. And, you know, part of the message that I think that I wanted to get to here, and we touched on it, was, you know, we're all in this together, and we're talking to a largely industry and hardcore enthusiast audience here on the podcast. It's really important that with industry in particular, because this industry, hospitality industry I'm talking about, has been hit so incredibly hard. People live paycheck to paycheck typically. There's not a lot of job security. There's not a lot of benefits, all that kind of stuff. It's absolutely critical, as much for that industry or more so than just about any other, that we all help each other out and we all stick together. And maybe we all find creative ways, like you guys have done with the happy hour, to bridge some of these gaps and fill some of these needs and just be there for people, right?
You know, I want to say that this might be a good time to look at revenue models that are sustainable, because it's really clear that it didn't take a whole lot to shake the system to the core. Mm-hmm. They're talking about having, you know, an unemployment rate of 20% by June. This country hasn't had a rate like that since we started to record those things.
Yep.
Maybe it's time we look at the models differently. Maybe. And it is, and, you know, this is me as the guy who wants to make as much money as possible, saying maybe if a system that is built on the labor of the people on the very bottom of the pyramid falls apart and those people aren't supported, maybe it's a bad system.
Yes.
Maybe we should have a way of taking care of them first.
Yes. Absolutely. And when we talk about the hospitality industry, I think, and I'm preaching to the choir, obviously, with people in the hospitality industry, I think in places like New York, and I don't want to speak for New York, I can speak for New Orleans to a degree, that, you know, I don't think people, a lot of other places, people, I'll phrase it this way, a lot of other places take the hospitality industry for granted more than we do here in a place like New Orleans. Now, I'm not saying everybody's on a pedestal, but like, for example, the term bartender has never been seen as a denigrating term really much here in New Orleans. Is all, and you don't need to say you're a mixologist here. You need to say you're a bartender here, and that's an honored profession in this place. I'm overstating a little bit, but when we're talking about people in general with the hospitality industry, I think they often get taken for granted. People don't seem to pay attention to the lack of healthcare benefits, for example, the job security, the low wages, what people get paid depending on their position in a hospitality business, all of that kind of stuff. There's a great bit of disparity and inequity in the industry, in my view. I don't know. Do you agree?
Between you and I, I've been putting a lot of thought in the last few days about what we can do for folks in the back of the house.
Indeed.
Because everyone is dependent on the back of the house. They're the most vulnerable members of the hospitality industry. And so far, nothing's being done to protect them.
Yep.
I know I can put something together where bartenders get showcased. I'm still trying to think, what can I do for everyone who's working in the back of the house? And I don't have a good answer yet. And every single place, every restaurant and bar is dependent on the back of the house, and we're ignoring them. And I'd like to think smart people can come up with something that'll work for us all.
Yeah, I thank you for saying that, because then when we talk about back house, I think everybody listening knows who we mean. Oftentimes we're talking about people that are working in the kitchen, people that are doing prep, people that are doing dishwashing. You know, they're not your servers and they're not your bartenders. And I think, Jackie, another group that we can include in this is not necessarily the businesses themselves and the upper ups in the distribution businesses and things, but talking about delivery drivers, right? And these folks that are bringing alcohol or bringing produce or bringing meat and things like that to restaurants, and people that supply the actual workers that supply the hospitality industry. I think that's another forgotten audience in all of this as well.
Absolutely. Once your supply chain falls apart, what do you do?
Mm-hmm.
Not everyone can grow, and not everyone has meat walking around their backyard.
Yes.
There are big questions that I think we're going to have to address, you know, when all this is done. And hopefully we can set up systems that are sustainable, not just as far as making sure income is okay, but to take care of the planet as well. The planet is actually okay with this.
Yeah.
The planet is fine with humans being indoors for a few weeks.
How many days did it take for there to be dolphins in the canals in Venice? Like 3?
Right?
Something like that, right?
suddenly we're the zoo and the animals come up to them and just go, oh, look at the human. You can see the humans in their natural environment now.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I appreciate you making that point. And you and I were talking about this before we went on the air. And as you know, something that listeners will know if they listen to the show enough, I did coral reef work for about 10 years, mostly in the developing world, and coming from that environmental perspective, you know, you learn acutely from doing this stuff that we're not separate from any damn thing on the planet. We are just another organism on the planet moving our way through. And there is no separation. This whole idea of taming of nature and that sort of Calvinistic kind of view of, you know, the controlling the world, controlling the environment and things like that, it's an archaic way of thinking. Obviously, broadly, too many people think about it that way, that we're somehow separate or privileged because we've been programmed socially to believe that. But it just, you know, a little, and I hate to say little, but a kick in the ass like this, I hope, does remind people that that's exactly what we are. We're just an organism on the planet. We're not that special.
And I've seen people licking door handles recently. I don't think we're all that smart.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Licking door handles and toilet seats and stuff like that. Yeah, great.
Yeah. You know, the people that are hoarding thousands of old toilet paper hand sanitizer, I got to wonder, like, how much of us actually deserve to survive this? And without being flippant, there are real conversations right now that are talking about those very things. In New York right now, we just found out today, there's 140,000 confirmed cases, which means it's probably 3 or 4 times that unconfirmed. There's the need for 40,000 ICU beds right now. There's only 3,000 ICU beds in the whole damn state. What are we going to do?
Right. Right. I do, Jackie, really quick, I do want to tell listeners, hold that thought. I just want, because things are changing so quickly lately, the past couple shows, we've been telling people what date the interview is recorded on. So we're talking on Tuesday, March 25th. So I do want people to know that, because they're probably hearing this, you know, maybe 5, 6, 7 days later. So, but go on. I'm sorry.
Today is Tuesday, March 25th, and things are fucked.
Yeah.
And if you're listening to this in the future, which you are, you're going to think that, you're going to be looking back at the halcyon days.
Yeah, right. A week ago. Right, exactly.
Remember the days back on March 25th when there were only 140,000 cases confirmed? Here's the truth that no one wants to admit. Last week, we all knew somebody who lost their job. Like, next week, we'll all know someone who's been infected. And in a month, we'll all know someone who's lost someone.
Yep. Yep.
So,
exactly.
The idea that there's separation, we have to get rid of that illusion. Mm-hmm. All of us are going to be impacted. Everyone's feelings are valid. If no one's feelings are more valid than anybody else's, this is us. And we get through it as us and we. We don't get through this as you and me.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Jackie, let's do this, because I love what you just said. Let's leave it there, and then let's tell people, how do we didn't really get into this other than with the virtual happy hour. How do we connect with you online? You do all kinds of interesting things, and we'll have you back on the show where we can talk about, you know, some of the other fun stuff that you do. But how do people find you online, social media, website, all that good stuff?
The website's jackiesummers.nyc, or you can just Google Jack from Brooklyn. I'm that guy.
Awesome. Cool. And do go check out, friends, what Jackie does. He does all kinds of interesting stuff. He's in the distilling business. One of the 50 most influential people in Brooklyn food. He's been listed as Drinks International, 100 most influential people worldwide. And really, more importantly, just a solid all around good dude and a guy I'm pleased to call a friend. So Jackie, thank you, buddy, so much for making time. I appreciate it.
Always a pleasure. Please stay safe, stay home, and wash your hands.
Yeah. I'm going to tune into the virtual happy hour, man. I've been making a cocktail a day until the coronavirus goes away thing. And yeah, so I'm going to be looking for new ideas, because as we're talking about, if we're doing that, there's going to be a lot of days of cocktail making, man.
Hell yeah. Well, Jackie, better days ahead, sir.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Well, thank you, Jackie. And I will certainly talk to you soon. And friends, we're going to take a brief musical interlude and we'll be right back. All right, everybody. Hey, thanks for listening into the show, friends. I do appreciate it as always. Hope you enjoyed the conversations we had there with Donnie and Jackie. A lot of fun stuff there with Donnie about, you know, just cool stuff for your home bar program while we're all hunkered down here doing what we do. And of course, always a pleasure to talk with Jackie, such a thoughtful person. Not that Donnie's not a thoughtful person too, but also, you know, to talk about what we talked about with the virtual happy hours and other stuff there. And that this is our parting shot, friends. Pardon me. Based on the conversation we had with Jackie with the virtual happy hour, I actually did the first one that I've ever done just the other evening with some friends of mine that I went to college with and their families. It was great to see the kids pop in and see how everybody was doing, and had drinks for about an hour and a half, and it was a lot of fun. And, you know, the couple points that I want to make here, obviously, are it's very important to stay connected. It's very important to find releases for ourselves, find, you know, hobbies, that kind of thing, but staying connected on a human level, obviously it's a lot more difficult. You have to be smart. You have to follow guidelines. You have to socially distance, all that good stuff. We know that, but we used Zoom. It was a really fun way to do it. You can kind of hook up a whole bunch of people, and we just, had a great conversation, and it was a lot of fun. Now I realize that not everybody is in a position to do that. So there is a bit of privilege there that you have the technology, of course, and so on and so forth. But these days, most people have cell phones, smartphones, and things like Zoom and Skype, FaceTime on Facebook, all work on the vast majority of devices out there. So it's a great way to check in with people. Loneliness is a problem, and I want to make sure that we talk about this. be aware of some of your friends out there who may have psychological issues, or you may feel are becoming lonely. Maybe they live by themselves, that sort of thing. And check in with them and try and hop online with them, or a phone call or a shout out in some way or another, to connect with them and see how they're doing. Now, one of the other points that I want to make here too, all these little threads of things that are affected by the current coronavirus crisis, it always never ceases to amaze me over these past 2-3 weeks of just the ramifications and how far they reach in different directions. And I'm sure a lot of you have heard this already or have thought about it, but also think about our friends, our neighbors, our relatives out there who may be battling addiction. Loneliness can absolutely re-trigger addiction. We're sitting at home on our hands in many cases with many of us out there, so it's pretty easy to reach for a bottle. Make sure that we're keeping tabs on those people. Help those people. If you are one of those people, reach out for help. Alcoholics Anonymous, there's numerous ways to reach out to counseling and things like that online at a distance. This is a really difficult time. We want to be sensitive and aware that this can be an even more difficult time for people who are battling addiction. But back to the first point, make sure that we're connecting with each other. It's a very, very important thing to do. I don't have any siblings, you know, raised an only child. So isolation and alone time is kind of part of my DNA, for lack of a better way to put it. But it was so psychologically beneficial to see some of my friends that I hadn't seen in a while, be able to connect with them and have some drinks, and just be able to kind of tune into the outside world, see their kids, all that good stuff. It's healthy for all of us to connect. And there are ways, thankfully, due to technology, that most of us possess to do that. So remember, friends, do take care of each other. Be sensitive to those out there. Follow guidelines from competent officials, as I like to say. I think we know who I'm talking about that's an incompetent official. So there we go. And well, that's our parting shot. We'll be back with a new show next week. Here's to you.